Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker.
As well as a few enemies, scoffers, skeptics, atheists, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys. And, of course, all you good guys and girls out there, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. I'm Tim Brown. I'm the editor at sonsoflibertymedia.com. And for those of you who might be followers of Islam, I'm the infidel Allah warned you about. And by that, I mean I'm one that holds to the book, the Bible, the Word of God, as the sole infallible rule of faith and practice for not only Christians, but for all men. It is the call from God to obey him and to follow him in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm filling in for Bradley today, live from the bunker here in the U.S.-occupied state of South Carolina. If you want to find us online, check out sonsoflibertyradio.com and also sonsoflibertymedia.com online. You can also follow Bradley on Facebook at Bradley Dean. That's Bradley, B-R-A-D-L-E-E, Dean, on Facebook. You can also find us on Sons of Liberty Radio on Facebook, and Sons of Liberty Media on Facebook. You can also follow Bradley at BradleyDean1 on Twitter. So there's a lot of areas where you can get the information that comes out from the Sons of Liberty. And today I hope that we're set up to have a really good show for you dealing with something that I think is an underlying problem, again, that I didn't get to finish up before, and that is a theological eschatology, and by let me break those things down. They're big words there. Theological has to do with the study of God, and eschatology has to do with the study of last things. And there's a breakdown within our culture of people who have misunderstood and misapplied an eschatology that the church didn't know for basically 1800 years. They've applied it in their thinking, and as a result, it plays out in their practice. We see it in our foreign policy. We see it even in our politics. And so I'm hoping to take on some of those things as we get past this first segment. But in the first segment, I want to take you over to sonsoflibertymedia.com, let you know about some of the things that are coming forth in your country. First of all, I tell you, when I put this up, I have to edit some of these articles and read them, and so this one literally had me physically sick. The latest Planned Parenthood video is out, provides evidence that live babies were killed with scissors for their organs. You will not believe what you read in this article. And the woman explains her horror at being given the order to cut a baby whose heartbeat was continuing in its body, cut its face open to extract its brain. If we're not due for judgment, then there is no God. That's true. But there is a God, and America is under judgment, and exactly this video here is a demonstration of the judgment of God upon our land. But here's the thing. God has still given us the ability to speak out on behalf of the unborn, to stand for them and to fight for them. The question is, are we doing it? Are we just behind our, are we keyboard commandos who vent out our frustration in comment sections on the web? Or are we those who get involved and put our elected officials a feet to the fire in order to bring about justice for those who are being killed in the womb and even outside the womb, as this video shows? SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. Unclassified emails on Hillary Clinton's server continue to grow in number. There's at least two of them that are clearly federal crimes. I would say any of these that are unclassified, this woman should be arrested. And I'm sure many of you agree with that. She should not be allowed to run for president of the United States. She's just as corrupt as her husband, Bill, is, and both of them need to be arrested, and justice needs to be applied quickly to them. And not at the taxpayers' expense. I'm not talking about throwing them in jail. I'm talking about bringing swift judgment upon them, biblical judgment upon them for their crimes. Sons of LibertyMedia.com, evolution shell game, a predetermined conclusion in search of proof. That is also up from Dr. Jerry Newcomb. And in case you hadn't heard, Jared Fogle, the former Subway spokesman who lost all that weight by eating Subway sandwiches, has pled guilty to child porn charges. The president of his foundation had also been arrested earlier in the year on not only porn charges, but actually producing the stuff. And the question that I have in my mind is, was Jared involved in that? We know he was involved with younger girls. They were 16 years old in the state that he lives in. That is not considered underage. That is the age of consent, just much like it is in my state of South Carolina. Of course, when we think of age of consent, we think of the young person's mind being elevated to where their body has grown. Look, I'm the first one. I'll tell you right off the bat. I think God has designed our bodies. We go in, young men and young women go into puberty. It is a sign they are ready to begin taking on more responsibility. Otherwise, what is the purpose of that? And what we have failed to do as a society, I confess, even as a father, what we have failed to do is to elevate their minds so they are responsible enough to catch up with their bodies. Because it wasn't that long ago, maybe 100 years ago, where our forefathers, who were very young, began to start their families. In fact, if we go back to the Bible, Mary is considered by most scholars to be somewhere between 14 and 16 years old when she has the conception of Christ. And so it was a common thing for younger people to start families. They were more ready to take on those responsibilities. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. The dirty secret about Obama's newest staffer, Rafi Friedman Gerspan. It's a man. Now, we know this. A lot of people have speculated that Michelle Obama is actually a man. I don't know if she is or not, or he is, or whatever the case may be. But this guy clearly is. And all you got to do is take one look at the picture on SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. You'll see that. He's dressing up as a man. The Bible says that should not be. And sadly, I've seen churches where pastors and deacons and all of these people dress up, mock as women for certain festivals they have. And I'm like, what are you people doing? God says don't do it. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com, Arizona sheriff blasts Obama ICE for dumping violent criminal illegals in his state, and more apostasy as a historical SC, the Southern Baptist Church embraces sodomites. Stay with us on the other side of break. We'll pick up last day's madness.
As you listen to the show today, you're probably thinking, how can I be a part of changing culture and restoring this country for our posterity? Well, we at the Sons of Liberty have an answer for you. Pick up the phone and call radio stations in your hometown. Tell them you want to hear the Sons of Liberty on your AM and FM stations. Help us multiply the message that we deliver to the nation every day. And equip your community with the truth that is protecting our liberty for generations to come. Remember, we can do this together. Are you tired of hearing nothing but gloom and doom from the mainstream media? It's time to turn the dial and start learning the truth of who you are so you know where you're going. That's why we at the Sons of Liberty are proud to introduce our new media outlet, sonsoflibertymedia.com. Every day, we're posting articles written by contributors from coast to coast who are actually in the fight in this culture war, bringing you the news and history the mainstream media does not want you to hear. sonsoflibertymedia.com. Get the news with resolve.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. Have you ever wondered why farmers can keep their livestock lean and healthy just by feeding them minerals in a nutrient-dense diet? Before market, they cut off their minerals, leaving them to crave high-calorie grains to fatten them up. So if weight control is this easy, why does the medical system prescribe invasive surgical gastric bypass for humans? The truth be told, according to research, you can avoid over 900 different diseases just by getting 90 essential nutrients daily. Check us out on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com and order your Healthy Start Pack and get your 90 for life. Or dial 855-301-TEAM. I said essential, not optional, and every day. Easy. 90 for life on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com or call 855-301-TEAM. That's 855-301-TEAM. At sonsoflibertyteam.com.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it. So decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
Something, I have a little trouble getting a hold of our guest, and I want to take on the issue of last day's madness again, because I think this is an important thing that we need to address, especially with all of the news that comes out about things that are expected in the upcoming month of September. We're talking about stock market crashes. We're talking about sustainability resolutions that are coming forth in the United Nations. We're talking about a United Nations resolution to recognize Palestine as a state and various other things that we're hearing that's coming forth. I don't want us to get off of the path that we need to be on. Jesus said there's a narrow path that we're to be on, that wide is the gate that leads to destruction. And in America, for at least 150 years, it's been very popular. More than that, it's been around just a little bit longer in America, is an idea that there is a distinction between the church and Israel. Now, before you cut me off and say, well, you're anti-Semitic, I have nothing against the state of Israel, okay? But that has been around for a little while, and it's impacted not only our churches, but it's impacted our political philosophy as well. And we've got our guest on the line. It's Gary DeMar. He is from American Vision. He's the author of Last Day's Madness, Is Jesus Coming Soon?, The Early Church and the End of the World, Why the End of the World is Not in Your Future, Left Behind, Separating Fact from Fiction, and 10 Popular Prophecy Myths Exposed and Answered. You can find him at AmericanVision.org. Welcome, Gary, to the Sons of Liberty. Hello? Are you there, Gary?
Hello. I'm here. You hear me?
Okay. Yeah, I got you, man. I got you. Hey, I'm glad you could join us. And what I wanted to do in the time that we have is I wanted to pick up from some things that I talked about concerning Last Days Madness. Yes, I borrowed from the title of your book. But what I wanted to do was kind of walk people through some of the thinking biblically of what we're talking about. Can you give a brief description of the theology that you reference when you describe the term dispensationalism, and in your book you term it Last Days Madness?
Well, dispensationalism really developed in the 19th century, and it made a clear distinction between Israel and the church. The claim was that in the New Testament there was a new entity called the church, and that when Israel failed to embrace Jesus as the Messiah, that a new entity was created called the church, and the prophetic clock was stopped. It was postponed until an event sometime in the future. We never knew when it was going to be, where the church would be raptured off the earth, and then God would once again deal with Israel for a seven-year period. The first 3.5 years would be time of peace and so forth. And then there would be the rise of the Antichrist. It'd be a rebuilt temple. The Antichrist would make a covenant with Israel, would break that covenant. And then literally all hell would break loose. And then that seven-year period would end with Jesus returning again with his church, and then to set up a 1,000-year reign on the earth. That's the position in a nutshell.
Okay, and would you say that this is a biblical position?
No, for a couple of reasons. The first one is this idea that there is this distinction between Israel and the church. There's nothing in the Bible that says such a thing. The Greek word for church is ekklesia. We get the word ecclesiastical out of it. And if you were to look at a Greek translation of the Old Testament, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, you would find that the Hebrew word kahal, which meant assembly or congregation, was translated as, in Greek, with the Greek word ekklesia. If you would go and look at the Greek New Testament and translate it into Hebrew, you would see that the Greek word ekklesia was translated to the word kahal. So the Greek word ekklesia was around long before Jesus came on the scene, before the whole New Testament was written. The word ekklesia simply meant assembly. In fact, Stephen talks about in Acts chapter 7, he talks about the ekklesia in the wilderness, the assembly of God's people in the wilderness. And he was referring to Israel. In the New Testament, who were the first Christians? They were Jews. They were Israelites. Who made up the first ekklesia, the first church in the New Testament era in the book of Acts? It was Israel. And what we have later on, of course, and when Peter has this vision of a sheep that came down out of heaven with all these unclean animals on it, and God says, take, kill, and eat. And Peter says, I've never eaten any unclean thing. And he was referring to the nations. And that showed that the Gentiles, the nations themselves were grafted into an already existing Jewish body of believers called the ecclesia, what we would call today the church. So this whole idea that there are two groups out there, two redemptive groups, one Israel and one the church, is absolutely false. There is no such thing. Anybody who puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, Jew or Gentile, makes up the New Testament ecclesia, makes up the New Testament church. So this end time scenario where God's going to rapture, take the church off the earth, and then there's going to be a seven-year period. I hate to say it to people because I know that there's so much that they have so much invested in this. There's not a single verse in the entire New Testament that says anything about the church is going to be taken off the earth before a seven-year period, in the middle of a seven-year period, after the seven-year period, or a partial rapture will take place, or a rapture will take place before the wrath of God is poured out. There is no gap between the prophecy clock did not stop and it's been on hold for 2,000 years. That whole system, that whole doctrine is nowhere found in Scripture. You got to piece things together, and it all assumes that there is this church-Israel distinction.
Well, sure, and I was going to reference Acts chapter 7, verse 38, where Stephen makes reference to the fact that the church existed long before the New Testament period. He was speaking of it in the wilderness. We know that Paul says in Romans 9 that not all of Israel are of Israel, and he talks about those who are of Israel. They're circumcised of the heart. He also says in Ephesians 2 that Jesus came to make the two, Jew and Gentile, one new man, break down that wall of partition about Jews and Gentiles, and he makes them all one new man. He's grafted the Gentiles into Israel, which figuratively, I mean, we see is the person and work of Christ. We've been grafted into Christ. And so I think that is true. Now, carrying that over, we've got a few minutes for the break. You had addressed...
Here's another point that's really important here. When you think of William Tyndale, when he translated the Bible into English, he was attacked because he refused to translate the Greek word ekklesia as church. He says it should have been translated as assembly or congregation. Right. And that simple translation would have made a huge difference in the way we think about the end times today.
Absolutely, and it would have been, I think, probably a huge blow to Rome as well.
Exactly.
Yeah, I totally agree. The question, though, comes, you did an article a couple of years ago, and you were dealing with the issue of being charged with replacement theology. It's titled, "The Charge of Replacement Theology is a Cover for Fuzzy Theology," which people can find on AmericanVision.org. And in that, you were dealing with people who are saying, well, you're saying the church replaces Israel, but you've already just demonstrated to us it doesn't replace Israel. It is the continuation of the biblical Israel.
Exactly. I mean, it's so basic and so simple that anybody reading the Bible for the first time that wasn't exposed to the dispensational system would be reading the Bible in that way. The first believers in Jesus were Jews. The first people to reject Jesus were Jews. The Gentiles, there were many Gentiles that embraced Jesus as the Messiah. And there were many Gentiles that rejected Jesus as the Messiah. There's only one people of God, and that one people of God makes up the congregation of God, the believing remnant made up of Jews and Gentiles.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Now, what I want to get into, though, is I want to compare that. Let's compare that. Dispensationalism, what we've talked about this idea that the church and Israel are so distinct, they're so separate, that now people buy into a geopolitical system is a biblical Israel today. What I want to ask you is, how does that kind of view differ from that of, say...
You are an individual with your own thoughts, decisions, and actions, so why should you be penalized for not enrolling in the subpar health insurance mandated by the government when you can be truly independent with Liberty HealthShare, a bold, innovative alternative allowing you to take back control and make your own decisions about your health care? Mention this ad when you call to learn more. 800-714-6993. That's 800-714-6993. Liberty HealthShare. Together, we are one.
Healthy, organic, fresh fish, robust, mouth-watering vegetables, all from your home. It's called aquaponics. This brilliant, self-sustaining protein and veggie system is perfect for year-round growing. Know exactly where your food is coming from. AquaponicsSource.com is the one-stop shop for all your needs. Fish, fish food, plumbing, full systems, classes, and more. Learn to build your own system. Go to AquaponicsSource.com for a free guide to aquaponics. That's AquaponicsSource.com.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
It's time to build your own emergency food stockpile with the industry leader, My Patriot Supply. Once you try them, you'll know why so many Americans like you have made them part of their emergency preparedness plan. Experience the My Patriot Supply difference today with this unbelievable offer. Right now, a 4-week food supply is only $99, and that includes free shipping. That's 50% off the online price. Call 800-274-3070 to claim yours. Limit 2 per caller while supplies last. This offer isn't available online, so you want to make sure and grab this opportunity to get prepared today. 800-274-3070 to get your 4-week food supply for the incredible price of only $99, and it'll be shipped to you completely free. Call 800-274-3070 right now. That's 800-274-3070 to claim yours while supplies last. Don't wait. Call today.
Now, a twice-as-nice twin kit special offer from Complete H2O Minerals for all GCN listeners. Get a Complete H2O Minerals twin kit with 33 different minerals, vitamins, and amino acids all in a liquid form. Enough for two people for 1 month. Regular price, $89.95. But now, Complete H2O Minerals is offering the twin kit for $69.95. And all GCN listeners receive a bonus 16-ounce bottle of ionic silver absolutely free with free shipping. A $120 total value. Hurry, limited time offer. Call 803-794-4767 or click CompleteH2OMinerals.com.
You pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason. Going once. Twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait. No!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNlive.com.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Hear the music go off. They just give me a up. So, board operator, could you please give me a little intro there so I'll know when that's happening? I would appreciate that. The question I wanted to ask you was, how are the things that you're speaking of, how do they differ as far as the things you've illuminated for us on dispensationalism, that view? How does that view of this Church-Israel distinction contrast itself against, say, classical Puritan view or our forefathers' view in America, or anybody in church history? How does that play out?
Well, traditionally, the church has pretty much always believed that the Jews would be unbelieving Jews, the remnant of unbelieving Israel, would be once again be reincorporated into an already existing body of believers made up of Jews and Gentiles. I mean, that was the Puritan view. What dispensationalism has done, however, is changed all that around, because I know this all starts getting complicated, but in the Olivet Discourse, Matthew chapter 24, and you know the passage about wars and rumors of wars and so forth and so on, and it says this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Well, traditionally, and if you look at most major Bible commentators, they pretty much agreed. Now, what Jesus was referring to there was events leading up to and including the destruction of Jerusalem, which took place in A.D. 70, which is a historical fact. Nobody disputes this. And so when Jesus said this generation will not pass away until all these things take place, He was talking about the generation of his day. He wasn't talking about a future generation. So this was around A.D. 33, maybe A.D. 30, that Jesus made this prediction, and the generation was about 40 years. And the temple was destroyed in A.D. 70. And Jesus warned that generation about this, and because of that warning, many believers left the city of Jerusalem, but many unbelievers didn't. Jerusalem was destroyed. Temple was destroyed. Not one stone was left upon another, just like Jesus predicted. But Jesus warned them for 40 years about this. Now, you take modern-day dispensationalism, and they say, well, the prophecy clock has stopped. And so there is going to be, what they maintain, another Jewish Holocaust. There's going to be, during the Great Tribulation that they say takes place after the so-called rapture, that two-thirds of the Jews living in Israel are going to be slaughtered again. One particular prophecy writer called it a great bloodbath. I think it was Charles Ryrie who wrote the Ryrie Study Bible. And so modern-day dispensationalism puts modern-day Israel in jeopardy because modern-day dispensationalists teach that Israel has to go through another Holocaust. Now, what does that do to the Middle East? Well, what it does is there must be another war. There's got to be this other battle where the enemies of Israel come against Israel and nearly destroy it again. And I find that a very, very bad scenario. It becomes a prophetic inevitability that there must be war in the Middle East, according to the modern-day dispensational view. The view that I hold and the church has held for centuries is that Jews throughout history would embrace Jesus Christ as the Messiah. It also teaches that the nations themselves will also embrace Jesus as the Messiah.
Amen. No, I completely agree. In fact, the charge of anti-Semitism that would come against people like you or I because we hold to this particular view, which is a biblical view and historically the church is held to, we're called anti-Semites, and yet the very doctrines they teach are basically saying, you know what, if you're a Jew, you've got two-thirds of your people who's going to be slaughtered in the future because of the way we interpret the Bible. In fact, I had written one of the Against the Worlds that Jerry Johnson had produced. I had written one on that, dealing with the fact that now we have people wanting to send money to send Jews to Israel, and their hopes is that the more they push those Jewish people that, you know, they claim to be Jewish, obviously outward, but they push them into that area, that the sooner that hastens the second coming of Christ, which, in essence, from their viewpoint, also hastens the slaughter of two-thirds of those people they're sending there, right?
Yeah, right. It's a crazy system. Of course, when I bring this up, and I've debated this topic numerous times, when I bring this up in the debate, and they say, oh, well, yeah, that's true, you know, but that's what the Bible says, and, of course, it does say that. You know, this is out of Zechariah chapter 13. The Bible does say that. But that prophecy relates to the destruction of Jerusalem in A.D. 70.
Absolutely.
And Jesus warned them. For 40 years he warned them. You know, get out of the city. When you see these things happen, leave. There aren't Christians today warning Jews to leave Israel. They're trying to raise money on Wings of Eagles, I think, of the organization is, to bring Jews into Israel. And, of course, I have no problem Jews going to Israel. I think it's a great thing that they're in their homeland and they can protect themselves. I think that's a pretty smart move. But according to the dispensational view, two-thirds of them are going to be destroyed. Now, this is interesting. The Democratic National Convention, I don't know if it was in 2008 or...
It was 2012. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, 2012, there was a Jewish representative of the Democratic Party who understood this view. He was very critical of Christians who held this view because he said, look, their view, he says, the only reason they're supporting us is because it's part of some, end-time scenario in which Jews are going to be slaughtered again. He was, of course, criticized for this, but that's what the position teaches. And, again, I've got, if you go online and search for my articles on this, I quote right from modern-day prophecy writers that many people would recognize, and this is what they say. This isn't something I've made up. This is right out of their books, where they maintain that two-thirds of the Jews living in Israel are going to be killed in another Holocaust. That's what is taught. That's the position.
Yeah, and I was I actually was looking for that article before we went to the break, and I couldn't remember what I titled it because I wrote on it as well, and I believe Scotty Hughes was the woman who was interviewing the gentleman. I can't remember his name right off the bat. But I think what you're doing is you're kind of moving into the thing that I was going to say, and that is this has very practical implications not only for the church but politically. It has life and death consequences for the church and for politics and government. Would you not say so?
Oh yeah, I agree. I think our efforts for Israel, of course, should be like any nation is. You know, we want to see people live and embrace Jesus Christ as the Messiah, as their Savior. I mean, that's what we should be all about. And we should be against efforts in Israel for anything Israel does wrong. I mean, Israel was sent off into captivity for doing things wrong. If Israel does something wrong today, we should be critical. We shouldn't say, well, they're the apple of God's eye. We can't criticize Israel. Well, God criticized Israel quite a few times. The Apostle Paul did too. There's nothing wrong with criticizing Israel if we use the standard of God's word. We have no problem criticizing what takes place here in the United States. I mean, Israel, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but the actual international capital for homosexuality is in Israel. It's in Tel Aviv. Are we wrong to criticize Israel's loosening of the laws regarding homosexuality? No, because we criticize our own American politicians for doing that. The issue of abortion, this is the same thing. If Israel does something wrong to innocent people, we should be critical of that, just like we're critical here of the United States. But at the same time, we should respect the sovereignty of Israel. You know, they're protecting their people. They went through a horrible, horrible ordeal in Europe and the rise of Nazi Germany and so forth. But you know, we need when we deal with Israel, we deal with them as the Islamic nations, we deal with Europe, China, whatever. We should be using the standard of God's word, and we should not be filtering it through some eschatological perspective that has really no support in Scripture. And even if it did, Israel and every other nation needs to act in terms of God's system of justice and mercy.
Well, absolutely. They need to follow the advice of David, who called on the nations to kiss the Son lest he be angry. So I agree with you. Our standard has to be the Word of God. It doesn't matter who the nation is that we're dealing with. And this is why I wanted to bring this to people, because in our nation, we have seen the rise of dispensationalism, like you said, in the 19th century. We've seen it highly popularized in the C.I. Scofield Bible. And then that began to flesh itself out, even within our global politics, from our president and how we viewed Israel, the geopolitical Israel. We saw it as somehow biblically prophetic. And then, of course, Hal Lindsey came along with his book, Late Great Planet Earth, and he's still reporting a lot of those kinds of things. But the issue is the true Israel has always been the people of God, those who have, as Paul says in the book of Galatians, he says they're the ones who have the faith of Abraham. They're not necessarily of his pedigree, of his lineage that come out, but they're those who have the same faith as Abraham. They believe God. And who is the God that Abraham believed in? Is it not our Lord Jesus Christ?
Yeah, it says that Abraham rejoiced to see Jesus today. This is in John chapter 8.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is standard biblical theology.
Amen. Can you hang on with me after the break? Because
sure.
I want to get into more of this practical application, and then we'll finish up. Stay with us.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are having a positive impact on the future of this country we all love so much. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you today to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty. Call 1-866-233-0747 or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
This is Bob Ellis, owner and operator of AmericanClarion.com. Bradley Dean is one of our newest contributors at American Clarion, and his columns are some of our biggest hit generators. Bradley is a warrior when it comes to speaking the truth unapologetically and with an appeal that people should embrace what's right.
Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Are you excited about the World Wide Web? Do you want a place where you can share your ideas and express yourself? Well, dial up your modems and stream on down to the GCN Live Community Forum. Lots of radical features await you there.
Wow, Internet guys, I'm so glad I went to the GCN Live Community Forum.
You too can discover why the World Wide Web is awesome. Just go to GCNLive.com/forum. That's GCNLive.com/forum. I'll see you in cyberspace. Friend GCN Live on Diaspora and Cross.tv.
Hi, my name is DeRay, suffering from migraines, having Botox injections in my head and neck to alleviate pain, costing $1,500 out of my pocket. I discovered Dr. Ortman and Gentle Touch Chiropractic Adjustment called NUCA. I'm migraine-free since my first adjustment. Thanks for giving me my life back, Dr. Ortman. I wish they prescribed you instead of Botox.
Thanks, DeRay. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the solution. We design a nutritional supplement program the body can handle and actually absorb, providing nutrients targeting the problem area. Between NUCA and nutrition, we will have you on the road to a faster and more permanent recovery. Look us up on the web at drwortman.com or call 952-303-9124. Let us help you feel better faster. Wellspring Spinal Care at 952-303-9124. Again, that's 952-303-9124. Or on the web at drortman.com.
Everyone says or does something silly once in a while, but once that embarrassing thing is on the internet, it can spread like a terrible rash. Put it to rest. Get a free expert analysis today from Reputation.com. It only takes 30 seconds. 800-831-0771. We protect your online image by helping to make sure that when people search for you or your business, they find the most current, accurate information possible. Reputation.com. Because word travels fast. Call for a free analysis today. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore, know that only, I'll use the word, only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. And the nations were blessed through the person of Christ. Paul goes on to say the seed that he talked about there is the person of Christ. He's not talking about seeds as of a lineage and a posterity. He's talking about the person of Christ. So those who are in Christ have the faith of Abraham. They are the children of Abraham. They are the recipients of all of the promises. And we have with us Gary DeMar from American Vision. Gary wanted to continue on with that because this gets to the practical application of how we see things. We're not just looking, like you said, we can respect the fact that Israel is sovereign, that it can defend itself. I fully support that, and those kinds of things. And then when they do wrong, we should be able to judge it according to the scriptures. But what are our practical implications when we come into contact with those who claim they're Jews but are not? They claim to be children of Abraham, but they reject the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the practical implication for that as Christians?
Well, I think when you ask a question like that, but of course, if you run into somebody who rejects Jesus as the Messiah, you present the gospel to them like Paul did or Peter did or anyone else in the New Testament. I mean, that's look, hey, I run into, you run into people all the time who claim that they're Christians. Back in the 70s, I was a member of Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church, and we would go out and we would witness to people. We'd go to the beach in Fort Lauderdale, and we'd ask them questions. If you were to die tonight, did you know for sure if you would go to heaven? And most people would say, well, yes, I'm a Christian. And if you did die and you stood before God and God asked you, why should I let you into my heaven, what would you say? Well, their answer didn't go along with their claim to be a Christian.
Sure.
And their belief that they were going to go to heaven. And so you presented the gospel to them. So when you meet somebody who's Jewish, and what does that mean in biblical terms? What does that mean? And to be a true Jew according to Scripture is, as you mentioned, for not all the ones out of Israel are those of Israel. And you present the gospel to them. I mean, that's the redemptive side of the question. You're asking something that relates to more the political side. I believe that is an issue that grows out of our view of dispensationalism.
No, I agree, and I'm glad you brought that up. I wanted to kind of throw that out there so that you gave the same answer for how you deal with a Jew as you or the person who claims they're a Jew as much as you do with somebody who claims they're a Christian or they're just a regular pagan Gentile. The issue is you deal with them with the gospel.
Exactly. You don't say, well, you're special because you're a Jew. In the book of John, the Gospel of John, John writes, very clearly. I'm going to make sure I quote it directly here. I got it. John chapter one. It says he came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. He was talking about Israel. But as many as received him, meaning Israel and anybody else, to them he gave the right to become children of God. So you're not a child of God just because you were born a Jew. You're a child of God if only when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to those who believe in his name. That's what it says. But look, the next verse, verse 13, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So being Jewish today of blood is no greater advantage than anybody who wasn't born a Jew of blood. And everybody has the same access to the Father through Jesus Christ, whether they were Jewish or whether they were non-Jewish. It's all the same, as you mentioned about Ephesians chapter 2. The dividing wall has, in fact, been broken down. There's one new man in Christ. Jesus is the centerpiece of everything. Jesus, of course, was Jewish. That's why those two genealogies are in there. I mean, the basis of Jesus' genealogy takes him all the way back to Adam, takes him all the way back to Abraham, takes him all the way back to David. The support of those genealogies is Jesus is who the Bible says he is. He was a Jew. And the promises were made not just to Israel, not just to the Jews, but was made to the nations as well, which was in fact predicted in the Old Testament.
Yeah, I completely agree. We've got a short amount of time. What I want to ask is, now how would you see that translating over into affecting the political climate where, as you know, Israel gets in the middle of everything, and of course, Obama isn't saying anything about dispensationalism per se. He certainly isn't presenting the gospel we're presenting. But there are Christians who think that somehow these people who, if we took the biblical doctrine of Antichrist, they reject that God has come in the flesh, that Christ has come in the flesh, as 2 John says. They would say, well, these people are God's chosen people, not realizing what's going on. How would you say that fits into the political arena, or does it fit into the political arena?
Well, again, I think all nations should be treated equally. If Israel does something right, we should support Israel. If Israel does something wrong, we shouldn't support Israel. We should do that with all the nations. I don't think you make a distinction between Israel and the other nations. All of the nations have to be evaluated in terms of God's word in the same way. The Bible talks about not having two different weights in your bag. That
right.
is one weight for one group of people and another weight for another group of people. It's the same weight. The nations around Israel were judged because they violated God's commandments. And then God said to Israel, if you do the same as the nations, the same thing's going to happen to you. I don't know why we don't take the same stand. And look, and that's the same for the United States as well. The United States isn't immune or distant from God's commandments. If we violate those laws, we're going to come under judgment too. And it's no different for Israel. Israel violates those laws. And if the Muslim nations violate those laws, the same type of judgment needs to take place. So we need to be wise when we deal with these nations, and we need to treat all of the nations the same with the same standard of justice for all of them.
Amen. Amen. Well, Gary, I want to thank you for joining us today. Tell people how they can get a hold of you.
Well, you can just go to AmericanVision.org. We have tons of articles up there. If you go to the store, we've got books. I've written, as you mentioned, Last Day's Madness, Is Jesus Coming Soon, and a lot of other prophecy books. If you want something, a short thing to read, I've got a new book up with some audio tapes as well, which is a basic introduction to interpreting Bible prophecy. There are three talks. There's an outline of Matthew 24 that's 100 pages long, all kinds of detail in it. So there's a lot of material on there, and if you go to the homepage, AmericanVision.org, right in the middle at the top, it says A Beginner's Guide to Interpreting Bible Prophecy, A Timely New Introduction to Bible Prophecy. That's available. You get a lot of stuff with it. With only $12.95, you get the booklet, you get the three talks, you get the outline, and then you also get my comprehensive outline on Matthew chapter 24, all for $12.95. AmericanVision.org.
Great. Gary, brother, thank you for being on the radio with us today, and have a great one, man.
All right. Thank you, Tim. See ya.
Bye. Bye. That's Gary DeMar from AmericanVision.org. And like I said, I think there are practical implications, and I think you see that. If you can follow it out, and I would highly recommend Gary's resources, not for the sale of stuff. Obviously, he's put his time into that. The Bible says the worker is worthy of his wage. You don't muzzle the ox. Gary's not out to make a lot of money with that, but he is out to equip people. And the money is there to further the ministry of the American Vision. But the stuff you will find there is expositional. It is historical. It is things you need to know as American Christians who hear this body. You need to know. You need to be out of the last days mindset in order to hold forth the standard that God has called you to hold, which is his standard. And it applies to all the nations, even as Gary said. Whether it's our nation, the Muslim nations, Israel, China, wherever it is, because that same law applies to them, and it condemns all of them. You need to understand, it condemns all of us. Thus, the need for the gospel of Jesus Christ that brings forth a Savior to save us from our sin, from our violation of God's law. And so, these are practical implications that stem out of theological understanding. If you can understand how you think affects what you do, this is very important. I urge you to get that series and pick it up. We'll be back with you in 23. See ya.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.